Hi, I'm Amanda Pacheco.
This is Sheila.
Hello, it's Davida.
I'm Gina Lovato.
Hey, it's Alana Dunn.
I'm Caitlin Bailey.
This is Melissa Novak.
It's Sean Jacobson.
Hey, it's Bethany Nicole. And welcome to Sex Party.
And welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Sex Party with your host, Dustin Rybka.
Welcome to Sex Party. I'm your host, Dustin Rybka. With me on the show this week is everyone's favorite guest, a friend of mine. She's here for the third time on the show, Susan Bratton, trusted hot sex advisor to millions. I think we should change that to billions. If you are a guy and you want to make your woman have an orgasm, you want to make your woman come, this episode is for you. If you're a woman and you want your orgasms to be better, you want to learn how to have orgasms to begin with all over your body, this episode is also for you. It doesn't matter how you identify, what kind of relationship you're in, gay, straight, or otherwise, it all applies. We also talk about throatgasms, which is a thing. And at the end of the episode, Susan talks about her latest experience at the ever-popular Orgy Dome. So without further ado, enjoy my third conversation with Susan Bratton.
This week's conversation.
Susan Bratton, welcome back to Sex Party. This is your third appearance. I checked the logbooks, the guest registration book that you signed. That's not a real thing. It doesn't exist. But this is your third appearance. The most appearances on the show is four. So I have a feeling we're closing in on and tying and possibly breaking the record. But all that being said, how is the trusted hot sex advisor to millions or billions, right? How are you doing?
I am doing so well. I just got back from Europe where I was working with a filmmaker who's decided to make a documentary about my life, my story, and my work, which is fantastic when you come from a medium that is chronically censored, to be able to transcend social media and the interwebs and have like a story about your crazy ass life and all the stuff you do by a cause-based, incredible filmmaker. That's a pretty exciting thing that's going on. And we're also going to be shooting my Steamy Sex Ed video collection volume 2 at the same time. All of the ecosystem of techniques that I've been teaching for a couple of decades. We're going to do a whole new round of that because, you know, you just get better and better at explaining things as you go. Mm-hmm. It's funny. The techniques that I launched my publishing company with that I've been teaching for decades, they've really stood the test of time. Like that whole thing about, I want to do male multiple orgasm. I want to teach the stamina techniques. I want to teach female ejaculation. I want to teach expanded orgasm. I want to teach men how to seduce women so they understand how different they are and how to get them to want as much sex as they do. You know, and all these things that we created are the things that are still the big things. Mm-hmm. So, it was really fun to be in Europe. I mountain biked my ass off and I took every form of transportation but reindeers, and it was fun. But I am coming on your Christmas special in a Santa, sexy Santa outfit. So I'll see if I can scare up a reindeer somehow.
Yeah. I mean, cat's out of the bag, guys. Like the Christmas episode it's coming. It's giant.
It's coming and coming and coming and coming and coming, if I have my say.
Yeah, no, exactly. And Susan will have a cameo. Okay. So everything you just said is gorgeous and beautiful. And for a moment there, I was somewhere in Europe, in some mountain range, drinking something for a second. And now we're back here. But what I want to ask is, are we going to see this documentary? Are we headed to Netflix? Are we headed to Showtime? Is it HBO? Because when you said it, I was like, oh fuck. Like I knew that from the moment you popped up on my computer screen in the first episode we did. Without even saying anything, you just sort of have this air about you that is not only this gorgeous thing that makes people feel like welcome and whatever, but it's intelligence. And it's also like an extreme trustability. I mean, I think you bring a lot of these things and you talk about how, oh, these techniques are still, pertinent and like, you know, whatever. But like, to me, that just sounds like you're ahead of the fucking curve, right? So are we going to Netflix? I mean, how do we blow this up? Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah. So if you want to, ride along on my creative process with the filmmaker, there's a website, launching by the time this podcast is up, honestly, at, thegift.film. Okay. That's the URL, thegift.film. And I'll be posting behind the scenes and all kinds of interesting things about how a documentary gets made. And, it'll probably end up in the streamers in 2025. It takes a while, but we're going to do launches direct to consumer through like workshops and ecstatic dance and play parties and stuff like that. Mm. There are a lot of stages to building momentum so that you can get distribution through a streaming service. But people have been very attracted to the concept of a documentary about what is being kind of withheld and censored in the sensual sex ed sphere that gets kind of lumped into pornography. So people don't have access to the information because, you know, my fundamental thing has always been great sex is super easy to have if somebody just tells you what to do. And I've always just been the somebody who just tells you what to do, like practical step by step. Here's how you have an orgasm of this. So do you have this? How do you talk dirty? How do you make her come when you fuck her? You know, whatever it is, it's like just everybody's doing all this woo woo shit, you know, like let's empower our goddess energy. And I love that. Chicks dig that shit. But I really just want to know how to come when I get fucked and really simple shit like that. And so it's very nice to have like a real deal filmmaker doing incredible movies, Emmy winning dude who's incredible storyteller, say this is a story that needs to be told because all this patriarchy, all this religiosity, all of this censorship is keeping people not only from having great sex, but having the kind of sex that keeps them young and vibrant and healthy and extends their, you know, extending your sex span and increases your health span. And we're not getting the information unless you somehow wormhole your way into one of my funnels, you know? And so that's what's really exciting. And the name of the movie, The Gift, came from one day I was talking to Dave Donnelly is the filmmaker. One day I said to him, you know, I really think about our sexuality as a gift of our humanity. It's one of the gifts of our humanity. And he went, that's the name of the movie, The Gift. That's what it is. It's a gift. And we have to learn how to find it and open it. So that's exciting. I'm enjoying it. And it's a new thing. And it's weird, too, because I'll tell you something. I am loving being in my 60s. I'm having the best sex of my life, which I've told you many times, but my brain is just on fire. It's just connecting dots it's like, I've got all this experience in all these different areas and shit is just making sense to me. And I'm explaining sex better than I've ever explained it before. And I'm also like, yeah, I want to do a documentary. I know I'm like confident that this is something that I can do an incredible job with. And Dave and I just have this really great collaboration together. And I just know it's going to be an extraordinary, momentous documentary that will change people's lives, where they will finally be able to see something on TV that says to them, oh, I just need to learn how to do it. Oh, everybody can do this? You mean it's simple to learn? I have hope that so many more people will have the opportunity to have highly satisfying, super sensual, heart-connected, passionate lovemaking because we're going to be able to transcend censored media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you know, there's so much there, but for me, I kind of feel like one of the things that really bothers me about the censorship piece that I think has led to like now and like patriarchy and all of those things, but like, let's say I have a guest like you, someone else, and I'm putting clips out on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever. They get a lot of attention. You get the most attention. They love you, right? And a lot of the comments are like, oh, that's slutty, and oh, this person's a whore. Da, da, da. And, but like, they're not even, I feel like they're probably not even listening to the full clip. And so like, what would you say to a man, because it's always a man, never a woman, who is saying, and believe me, I get them. I say some really fucking weird shit back. But to someone who just sees a woman who is having 500 threesomes, who is experiencing pleasure on her own terms, mm-hmm. right? Who is teaching others, whatever. What do you say to someone who like has a negative, shitty thing to say about that? Are we just ignoring that, or do you have a message?
I always feel really badly for people that, you know, that say shitty things, because I think about how they're just so disconnected from their pleasure, and that whatever they've been taught and whatever makes them have the reaction of slut shaming or what have you means that they're just not having what I'm having or you're having. They're not having that like incredible bliss that gives them a lust for life, that gives them their own vitality and enthusiasm and, you know, smiles and springs in their step and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's the biggest issue, is that when we censor sexual education, the kind of sex ed that I do, the sexy sex ed, the how to give your partner incredible pleasure, how to have unlimited stamina, how to move your partner toward pleasure, you know, all of the how to talk dirty without feeling weird, whatever it might be, all of these components, I feel like, gosh, it's a shame that they somehow were taught that this is bad and not good. And that's one more ruined life. So I really just have a lot of empathy and compassion, but I also call them on their bullshit. Like, this is uncalled for. You don't know what you're talking about. You need to be nice. You know, I don't often in my comments online, when people say shitty stuff, all my fans are like, no way, asshole. You're not going to, like, they defend me, which is nice. I don't even have to defend myself because my fans defend me for me, which I really appreciate.
Well, you have a lot of fans, including me over there. And my favorite thing is like, oh, so you watched it and it's disgusting, right? But you took the time out of your day to leave three comments, and thanks for the free engagement. You sound triggered, because you know these are people that are incredibly sensitive. And yeah, I think it's fine to feel sorry for them. I think you're right there. I feel sorry for them deep down, but like, you're just helping whatever message is in that video to go out to more people. So I got to tell you, thanks for fucking hate, you know? And then they come back and I'm like, then there's like a 10 string comment, and I'll go all day. I don't care, because they're helping it, you know, reach more people and the follower count go up. I mean, it's just so predictable, right? It's just so fucking predictable. And I think, you know, yeah, me too. But fuck them anyway.
I feel bad, but fuck them.
yeah.
It literally doesn't bother me either. I'm very Teflon around negative comments. Yeah. I'm very Teflon around. You learn that over time. There's always going to be those people. And I just try to have compassion in my heart for all my transgressors. That's all you can
for
do.
For sure. No,
that's the win.
For real. Yeah, you have to, if you're gonna be in the public eye and you're talking about sex, you know, host a podcast or do all of the amazing things you do, you know, you have to learn to love the hate a bit, because I mean, I always get comments about, oh, you look fucking tired, or you're getting old, or how big my lips are, whatever. But the thing is it's never ever from a woman, it's always from a dude. Always. And I'm like, hey, appreciate it. You know, so even though, like, you know, you have those negative people, there are positive people that are really interested in the things that you say and the things that you do and the things you teach, the things that you've learned, right? And I think one of those things, and we talked a bit about this we were texting earlier about what this episode was going to be about. And one of the things you said that like really grabbed me, it was like, oh shit, this is a doozy, right? It's like, and you mentioned it like a couple of times, like, how are we making her come, right? Like how, like for the woman, how does she relax and come? For the dude, how is he making her come? From the expert, Susan Brad, you know?
Yeah, orgasmic intercourse. Basically, our text, Dustin was, remind me what the fuck we're talking about today.
Yeah. I love when the guests dictate, because then I'm like, okay, cool. Like, let's do this. Yeah.
Well, I just want to think about the most fun things we can talk about, because I can say anything on your show, which I love, because I have to behave myself most of the time, because I'm on like doctor shows and, you know, menopause shows and things like that. So I have to be a good girl. But with you, I can be the biggest girl I want. So I was thinking, what better thing to talk about than fucking? Because most people are in a heterosexual monogamous relationship. Not that I'm excluding people who aren't. So you can get something out of everything that Dustin and I are going to say, no matter what your gender persuasion and relationship paradigm. But since the big bell curve is a pair-bonded, penis-owning, and vulva-owning human homo sapien person, and because most people still think sex means intercourse, and most people, it's almost too easy for the guy. He's trying not to come too fast from intercourse, and she's trying to come from intercourse. And there are women out there who are like, oh yeah, I can come from straight up fucking all the time. And it's great. Most women can't. And then what happens in a long-term relationship is she doesn't want to keep fucking him because she's not coming from it. So, you know, I always say to guys, if she's like, that's okay, I like being close to you, I'm like, yeah, you got about maybe 4 to 7 years until she's no longer interested in sex. Like, that is unacceptable. At the same time, you can't necessarily make her come. And when you have that mindset of that kind of strategic mind where you're like, I'm going to make her come so hard, you know, then you're doing her and not being with her. What she really wants is your presence, not your strategy. So there's this notion of conscious incompetence. And then that leads to unconscious competence. And so you have to start in conscious incompetence when you learn new sex techniques, whether it's oral skills or fucking or fingering or G-spot or P-spot or whatever it is. You start out like, okay, I got to do the steps. I got to get the concepts. And once you get that and you practice it a few times, then you don't even think about it and you just have it wired into your muscle memory and you're doing it. So there's a couple of things, and that is that a lot of the women who aren't massively orgasmic from intercourse or who require simultaneous clitoral stimulation with hands or toys or what have you, nothing wrong with that. I mean, one of my favorite sex position is butt on the edge of the bed, legs up, one of them's against my cabinet in my bedroom. I got stripper heels on. I got a big vibrator on my clit and Sir Tim is going at me. I love that because that's a really nice blended vaginal clitoral orgasm. The clit actually wraps around the vagina. So it's like sending all the vibes into that, which is really nice. But I also love getting on him cowgirl style and just getting myself off on him. And he's just meeting me and kind of riding my ride, you know, so that's a nice one. Doggy style, yob, yum. And there's so many great intercourse sex positions, but it's really a couple of things hold most women back. One is that they don't understand that orgasming from intercourse is a learned skill. They don't understand that their erectile tissue, which is a penis's worth of erectile tissue. So if you think about a dick, let's just think about your dick, Dustin.
Okay.
Your dick sticks out of your belly, and when you get erect, it sticks up. Your suspensory ligament holds it up and you've got an erection. double the size of what you see when you look down, because your dick actually goes in and down towards your testicles. That's your buried shaft. And so your dick is like this giant banana. It's twice as long as what you see on the outside, fully erect. If I pretended that was a banana and I peeled the banana and took the fruit out, and then I took that fruit and I turned it into a donut with a point at the top, and I uncovered my vulva and popped it in there, that it would be surrounding my vaginal opening and would come up to a point where the clitoral shaft is and the tip. But that's my erectile tissue. I have as much erectile tissue in my vulva as you do in your entire penis, the half that's showing and the half that's not. But you see a boob and get a hard on. Like, it's super easy for you. You woke up with a hard-on. A hard-on woke you up at 3 a.m. You masturbated today. You see a boob. You're ready to go. You've got a lot of testosterone. You're horny every day. You're like on command. If I was like, let's go, you'd be like, okay, boom, drop trowel, get a hard-on, go. That's how guys are designed, because...
Right. Car wheel down the hallway.
You
right.
have to be ready when we're ready, because we're so frigging inscrutable. And so for couples who want to kind of cross that chasm, close that orgasm gap between how easy it is for him and sometimes too easy, and how hard it is for her, I've come up with a series of techniques that give you more than the old the old in and out, you know, because that's, if that's what you're doing, that ain't going to get you where you want to go. So orgasms are a learned skill. All women can do them. It requires her full clitoral engorgement, which takes 20 minutes. So playing with her boobs, making out with her, and genitally pleasuring her with your hands, manual pleasuring, as well as oral pleasuring, are all, and playing with toys, using the wand and getting the mons nice and plumpy, and, you know, all that G-spotting and all that stuff. That gets her to her lady boner. And she has to have that before she's penetrated. The other thing that women struggle with is that they feel like they're dry because they're nervous, or they're rushed to intercourse too fast. And the way that our lubrication works is that we need to first be relaxed. And for most guys who are the strategizers, they're like, what knobs do I press? What buttons do I turn? How do I get her turned on faster? That's the number one thing guys ask me. How do I get her turned on faster? And I always say, the faster you go, the behinder you get. You need to actually slow down to turn her on faster. She needs to feel safe. Because you're testosterone dominant and confident, and you can walk freely in the world. She's estrogen dominant. She's got her mind on everything. She worries about her safety. She worries about things. You've got to get her out of her head and into her body and relaxed so she can begin to go up the arousal ladder. So the blood, like basically what happens is her, she'll start getting more spit. Her eyes might water. Her breasts will literally kind of like let down a little bit, and then her vagina will start to lubricate. The blood has to flow from all of her other parts down into her pelvic bowl, and the plasma has to seep through the lining of her vagina to wet it to get lubricated. And though experts will tell you that there's no correlation between how wet she is and how turned on she is, if you make a woman safe and give her the time to get lubricated and really talk to her and love on her and pleasure her and let her know she's safe and you desire her and she's beautiful and she smells good and she tastes good and she feels good and you're so happy, she's going to lubricate much better. And when she feels that wetness, it's a signal to her that she's ready for penetration. So there's a new lube I want to tell you about as well, that I think is a really important piece of it, because one of the other things that I've been learning is that you know, I've been talking a lot about orgasmic cross training and orgasmic activation, like basically activating the whole vulva, the mons, the outer labia, the inner labia, the clitoral shaft, the clitoral tip, the vestibule, the introital sphincter, the opening to the vagina, the G-spot on the outside on the vestibule, the perineum, the foreshet, like all this stuff. Let me show you a picture of it.
We love visual aids from Susan.
Brett. I don't know if I think I've shown you my vulva pictures before.
Yeah, I think we had something in the first or
so
second.
So the vulva's here, but if I peel away the tissue, this is what's underneath. This is the clitoral, urethral, and perineal sponges. And that's basically your dick's worth of erectile tissue wrapped around my vulva. Same thing. This is all the stuff that gets plumped up. So when you touch all this stuff, it gets all of this full of blood. And most people just go for the tip of the clit or right inside the vagina, and then women don't get that full activation. And I found this new lube. I'll get some sent to you. You can try it. It's Foria, and it's called an awakening oil. And you rub it on. You just put a layer of it on all of the vulva. And then they have a sex oil that is the lube that goes on top. But what the Awaken does is it uses the phytocannabinoids from CBD and it triggers the endocannabinoid system of our vulvar tissue to start sending signals to the brain so that we engorge and feel more pleasure because our yoni gets full of blood. It gets a hard on, plumped up. That makes more tissue that sends more signals to our brain, our biggest sex organ that processes it as much more pleasure. And then I had to raid my demos last night. They have a third thing called melts, and they're these little, cocoa butter CBD suppositories. They have vaginal melts and they have booty melts for anal sex. And it's so hard to get lube up in there unless you had a lube shooter or something. And so I really like these suppositories because they make your whole vaginal or rectal canal so nice. You don't have, like, even if you've got great lubrication, they kind of add to it. So I love this triple system. I call it my pleasure protocol. And you can find it at pleasureprotocol.com. And I love this system for triggering the brain to feel the pussy. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are some things. I want to get into techniques with you, but I'll pause so you can get a word in edgewise. But I think those are important things. The mechanics are the basics.
Yeah. They don't want to hear me talk. They're here for you. But I will say, you know, we love cutting edge products on the show, and so do they. And you know, who doesn't love all of that experience and walkthrough from Susan Bratton? Also too, if you were listening to this and you missed the visual aids, complete your listening journey, right? Then go over to YouTube and see the pictures that Susan was holding up. You know, we're going to get into procedural stuff and what to do, whatever. But at some point, I'm just going to put this out there. I want you to really, if you can, talk to these and do it for the women, please, because they need your help. But talk to the men for a second, whenever you can do it now or after this segment. But talk to the men about how it is okay to encourage and use toys with your woman during sex, because I think that those things are your friend. And we just have this sort of like, we suck at getting our women off if they're using a toy. And like, that's just such bullshit. It just makes sex so much better. And you talked earlier about, you know, the kind of sex that you can achieve when both people are having these orgasms and slowing down and taking time. I mean, we're talking about like, you have sex and then you want to clean the house and go on vacation. That's what it feels like, right? And that is like, so everyone should be having that. So at some point I want to put a little, I'm planting the seed right now in your mind to like holler at these dudes and say, yo, toys are the ticket. They're your friend.
Yeah. I think also for most men, they're still having one ejaculatory orgasm. They haven't moved into connecting their cock to their heart or connecting their cock up into, you know, source. And they haven't learned how to run full body energy orgasms yet. They're still worried about stamina. They're still worried about coming too fast. And so, and a lot of guys think that they need to maintain their erection in the whole time until penetration. And that makes them rush to penetration instead of slow down and enjoy all of the other components of sex, the kissing, the breast play, the cock stroking, the oral, the 69, you know, and a lot of people say to me, 69, I don't know. I can't concentrate. It's too many things going on. I'll just eat her pussy, or maybe if I'm lucky, she'll suck my cock. And I'm like, oh no. Everything is a learned skill with sex. So the more that you do it, the more that you can enter into this conjoined trance state of bliss where you just don't worry whether you're feeling more in the giving moment or the receiving moment. It just starts going back and forth. You just enter into this loop of pleasure. And so for guys, I don't want you to feel like you have to stay hard till you penetrate. Just don't worry about whether you're hard or soft during all of the other times. When you're ready or when she's ready for intercourse, then you two can do whatever gets you really turned on again and hard again. The other thing is that I think if guys are struggling with stamina, and they have a lot of performance anxiety. Performance anxiety is the number one issue in sex for all people. Performance, will I come? Am I going to come too fast? Will I be able to stay hard? You know, how does my pussy smell? You know, like all that stuff. And just really getting out of that catastrophizing or remembering something that was in the past and getting present with each other, really connecting your heart and being present. And getting out of what you think should be happening and just being with what is happening is one of the best pieces of advice for men specifically, because they're so performance oriented and so goal oriented. So you have to not put so much pressure on yourself. But if you are a guy that has issues lasting long enough, then I recommend that you learn a technique called the me breath. The me breath is something that I worked with Jim Benson to publish. You can find it at tuningforktips.com. And it basically teaches you how to use a technique during masturbation that lets you gas and break your arousal during intercourse. It's a squeeze of your PC muscle, a certain breath. It's a cool draw, like in Taoist practices. And it's a pelvic rock. And the pelvic rock is really important because it relaxes your urge to ejaculate. So you can have what's called ejaculatory choice. You can last as long as you want and come when you want to, or she begs you to. And so that's really nice, because a lot of men also have a lot of fear around their semen being accepted. And semen is very, very good for your partner. It's got over 20 different things in it, including spermidine and putrescine, which are fantastic for anti-aging and longevity, which is why the Taoist masters did semen retention, because they wanted to live longer. And it creates autophagy, where it cleans out cellular debris. So it's very good for you and your partner. And so I think guys having more support around not feeling the pressure to be hard all the time, and also not feeling like they can't last, feeling like they can last, having some more stamina is really helpful for them. So I would recommend tuningforktips.com for that. Because you can't really get to a lot of the fucking techniques if you're worried about coming too fast. Another technique that I offer that's very, very nice is called thrust in time. Speaking of Taoist practices, it's a it's an ancient Taoist practice that I brought up to the 21st century. And it's essentially, you can go to thrustintime.com and download it, because I don't want to get into all the details here, because I want to give you a lot of techniques. I want to be like the stripper with the $10 bill, boom, 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 boom. So I want to do that. So I want to give you as many as I can. So thrust in time is a intercourse. It's like basically a fucking technique on a 10 count that uses shallow and deep stroke alter, you know, like alternating between shallow and deep strokes. And by the time you get to like a 4 or 5 count, a woman who's never had an orgasm from intercourse is likely going to come for her first time. It toggles her nervous system, her sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, in a way that induces the orgasm. So it's like your first thing to try. And both the me breath and the thrust in time technique, they're very much those, they become you become unconsciously competent at them, and you get them wired into your body, and then you just do it without even thinking, and you're good. So you may be starting at first paying attention, counting in your head a little bit, but pretty soon you're not even, you just can feel your way through it, and she starts coming and coming and coming. So those are some good ones. The other thing that I think is very important for men is something called the heart-tongue technique. Now, everything that I'm about to tell you is all at orgasmicintercourse.com. And everything, all these links I'm giving you are free. I give away a lot of free content. You never have to buy anything from me. There's stuff you can, but I earn people's trust. So orgasmicintercourse.com has all the next things I'm going to talk about. And the heart tongue is one that guys really struggle with. And that is that guys think about their dick as like this almost disembodied appendage. Like it's a tool. It's a probe. It is a piston. It is this thing that is there to jackhammer a pussy. And they watch too much porn. So that's what they think it is. Porn's made for men to jerk off to. It's not sex techniques that make women come. They're coming, but they're experts. So the heart tongue gets you to connect your heart to your cock. She can tell when you're in your head, when you're just trying to fuck her and make her come. She can tell when you're sending love from your heart into her pussy. That's a totally different experience for her. And you can do that with someone you just met. And you can do that with someone you've been together with forever. You can love everybody all the time. And it is a very good practice to practice loving. And she may fall in love with you, but you can fall in love with her too. And you can fall in love for just a night. And when it's a heart tongue, it's not only a heart, but it's instead of thinking about it as there are some techniques that I'm going to tell you about that use kind of a pull, cue, pivot. But in this particular case, what I want you to do is think about your dick as a tongue where you're actually licking the inside of her vaginal cave. Because the vagina, where's my vagina? Hang on, I got to find my vagina. Where's my vagina? Here it is.
Oh, that's going to be a clip.
This is what a vagina looks like. It looks like a little balloon that you'd make a water balloon out of, with a little neck and the little round end and the little balloony sphincter muscle there. That's the introital sphincter of the vagina, which is delicate and sensitive, and it loves to just be delicately tongued and touched. It doesn't want to like be like, you know, with a pool cue. It has this neck that is thin, and then it goes into this bulbous cavern, and the cavern has a little impression at the top, like a little dimple at the top where the cervix comes down. And it's flat and empty, like a deflated balloon, until it begins to get turned on. And when it begins to get turned on, it tenses. It tents up like this. And the cervix pops down right here. And
you're such a pro. Like the balloon even has like the muscly red. Like she's just such a, you're such a pro. You just know this. Like if there was ever, I mean, no one would ever had any doubts that you were a pro, but like, look at you right now. Like you're just a magic woman. What the
fuck? So sweet. So here's what a vagina wants. A vagina does like sometimes, and especially the outer labia when they're really engorged, to get a nice pounding that feels good, but especially not in the beginning. And a vagina likes you to touch all of the inside. So if you're thinking about it like your penis is going into a sheath, like a sword into a sheath, that's not what you're dealing with here. You're missing a whole bunch of vagina if you're just going in and out, in and out, in and out. You got to think about your dick as a heart tongue, and you got to lick and touch all of this inside. But think about it like this. You know how, okay, here goes my balloon. There's the queef. You think about when a masseuse rubs you, and you would not like it if you paid $100 for a massage and they just rubbed your skin. They're just rubbing your skin. They're rubbing you. You'd be like, this is the worst fucking massage I've ever gotten in my life. What you want is them to get under there and rub that tissue. That's what we want inside our vagina. We don't want you killing us with friction. Some of that we want. What we want is up there on the side, down the bottom, way in the back, up on the cervix. There's nerves that run down the sides. The perineal sponge is on the bottom. The urethral sponge or G-spot is on the top. The cervix is on the top. The deep parts of her cave. We want to be penetrated through the vaginal tissue and have it feel like you've connected with our womb, the soul of our womb. That's what we want. So when you're just all like, we're like, right? So that heart tongue is a really good tip. The other one is the penis pivot. So it gets all that cave activated. And remember that when you're with a woman, she's going to have three sensations, basically three sensations. She's going to have dead or numb, can't feel a fucking thing. Hurts, don't like it, makes me feel ashamed, or feels good, could feel even better. And the only difference between the feels good and could even feel better and the other two is that they haven't been touched well with love enough yet to move over into the feels good side. Everything can be activated. Everything can feel good. You can just run a little tongue or a finger down my labia. You could stroke across my mons. You could do a little circle around the entrance to my vagina. You could stick a finger in and swipe across my G-spot. It all makes me come because I've activated it all. Sir Tim has worked his ass off for decades for me to do this. And so it comes, you know, more and more and more things make you come over time. So the penis pivots are another thing where you can be like, and guys with curved dicks already know this because they have to kind of adjust for the angle of their dick in the pussy. Mm-hmm. And they're really good at like, you know, the side to side or the up or the down or whatever they have to do to kind of compensate for the curve. But guys with your basic straight dicks, they haven't figured that out yet. And so what they want to do, I want to tell them, it's a pool cue. You want to aim it to the side or gunwale, you know, you want to aim to the side, aim to the side, aim to the top. The hip drop is another one where you essentially want to, you don't want to go in and out like this. You want to go up and back. It's a wave up and back, up and back, up and back like that. That gets that whole urethral sponge, her G-spot really going. Often, if you've been lucky enough to have a woman squirting on your dick while you're fucking her, God, I love podcasts where I can just say shit I need to say. Thank you, Sex Party FM.
Any day of the week.
when you're fucking a girl or she's fucking you and she's squirting all over your dick, it's almost always that upper quadrant is getting activated because that's the urethral sponge. I've got another picture. Let's talk about the G-spot.
Yeah, I mean, this is one that I think, you know, it's funny because I feel like a year, 2 years, 3 years ago, it was all G-spot content on social. We'd be talking about censorship, and I feel with censorship kind of hacking off a lot of things, the fucking G-spot on a female is one of the things that's been hacked.
Bummer. Well, the G-spot looks like this. Oh, so remember in... Let me orient you to what you're looking at here. So remember when I was talking about all of the erectile tissue of the vulva, and I was saying this is the clitoral structure, this is the perineal structure, and this is the urethral structure. That's the G-spot. So the G-spot is inside the cave on the top, but it goes all the way back, and it kind of shoots up above the uterus. And so you get to it, it'll pop out of the vagina once it gets engorged and full of blood, because this is a sponge. This is what it looks like close up. It's a sponge. This little rosebud is right. Oh, damn, I lost that picture again.
Again, if you're listening to this, finish listening and then go look at the visual cues on YouTube.
Here's where right in the vestibule, if you open the little inner labia, that's called the vestibule. The vaginal opening is here. This is the urethral exit where the pee-pee comes out. That is a little rosebud. That's this little rosebud of the tube. And this is the G-spot. It's this giant thing. And these are the Skene's glands. And so this is where the urine and ejaculate come out of a woman, out through the vestibule. Just like a guy urinates and ejaculates out of his dick, we urinate and ejaculate out of our urethral sponge. Your urethral sponge is called your corpus spongiosum. That's the sponge, one of the three erectile tissues in your dick. This is our sponge. It's the same thing. And our blood plasma, as it's coming down and wetting the vaginal mucosal lining to making us lubricated, it's also coming down and seeping through these little glands that are accumulating in the urethra so that when she has a contraction, fluid is expelled out. It's not urine, it's ejaculate. There's a little muscle, very similar to a sphincter muscle, that holds the pee inside the bladder during intercourse. So when she's ejaculating her feminine nectar, her amrita, these are the lovely words for ejaculate, as she's ejaculating, her pee is not coming out. That's why after a good squirt session, a woman will go into the bathroom and she'll have a really big pee because she's been pressing down and there's been all this urine accumulating in her bladder that hasn't expelled because she's been expelling the ejaculate. So I think that's a very important thing that some people haven't, you know, heard about before. And they're worried. Oh, am I peeing? Is it, you know, is it going to be a problem? No, it's not pee. So
you heard it here. I don't want to say first, but you heard it from Susan Bratton on Sex Party. There you go. It's not pee. It's not pee. We've had varying degrees of, it's always this weird kind of like, always in motion opinion. And, you know, some people agree on it. Some people don't, but it's like, it's what you just said makes so much sense across the board, you know?
Exactly. I mean, you can have, if you're the kind of person who, their pee stinks because when they eat asparagus, I'm one of them. If I eat asparagus, I can smell it in my pee. And I can go squirt my heart out and then pee and smell the asparagus, but not smell it in my ejaculate. It's not pee. So.
Right. And that doesn't, it doesn't mean that some people aren't peeing and saying it squirt. We're not saying that. We're just saying that if that female ejaculate is not pee.
Exactly.
Right?
It's prostatic fluid. Okay.
There you go.
So the penis pivots are really important because you're getting up there. The thrust with the pelvic rock is really good. And then what a woman can do is she can do what's called pompoir, which is a beautiful French word for squeezes dick. And you can get your vaginal musculature, the the stronger your vaginal musculature is, the better and more intense your orgasms are. And when you can actually learn to go right up the vagina and right up a penis and right back down, almost like a you can squeeze it in different ways. You can squeeze the top, squeeze the bottom. You can do a lot of things with your vaginal muscles as you activate them and make the mind-vagina connection. So the penis pivots and the pompoirs are kind of the his and hers, you know, set of techniques.
Collection. Yeah.
And another one that I really like is something that I call squatting tiger, bouncing lion. One of the easiest ways for women to achieve orgasm from intercourse is to ride him on top, be on top. It's called, mostly it's called cowgirl, or it's missionary girl on top. You're facing him. And I like headboard daddy, where he leans back against the headboard and he plays with your boobs and he tells you how beautiful you are and he kisses you while you're riding him. I also like the kind where he's lying down, you're on top of him, but instead of being on your knees, you're on your feet, you're squatting on him. And often if he's holding your hands so that you get some steadying and you're on your feet and you're squatting, you can go up and down on his penis and go side and side and, you know, short strokes and long strokes. And then the other one is the feline grind, which is that instead of thinking about strokes of your vagina on his penis, you can think about grinding down on him and getting him all the way up inside you and getting him past the cervix into the deep spots in the spaces of your vaginal cavern. So I think the feline grind is a very good one. And then there's one more I want to give you too, if that's okay.
No, of course. What the hell? Why would I stop the train now?
It's called glissando. And glissando is a musical term for kind of the tipping of the scales, like a harp where it goes, or a violin. It's like that trilling waterfall sound. That's a glissando.
Like a harp.
Like a harp.
Yeah, like a, right.
And the glissando is really, really works well in doggy style. And it's the idea that instead of, you know, there's a lot to be said for learning the pelvic drop and really getting all of your hips moving. Guys are like way too stiff, and they really need to be like, you know, this is why women like black men, because they know how to move their hips. They're not so tight. And the thing about glissando is that if you're behind her, instead of thinking that you're coming in to her, think about you kind of holding still and pulling her on to you. And think about it in rocking motions, like a baby likes to be rocked. Our nervous systems like to be rocked. And we like smooth rocking. And if you've got those melts, those Fourier melts up inside her vagina, and it's really nice and smooth, you can get her, this is why it's glissando, you can get her sliding. You can do short strokes. You can do some long strokes. She surrendered to her pleasure. You're moving her body. That's a big turn on for her. That's your masculine sexual leadership. But you're taking control of her body. You can also do it while she's sitting on top of you or lying on top of you. You can be moving her on you. And that's really, really nice for her as well. So it's just kind of flipping the script. So basically there's a lot more pelvic. There's a lot more variety of stroke depth and speed. There's more of the exploration of this cave rather than the in and out of the sheath. And I think those are some of the bigger concepts, in addition to waiting until she's fully engorged. That's are fundamental to helping her cross that gasm chasm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the most valuable 45 minutes, I think. I mean, you've brought some like incredible value to this show and to everyone's life who's listened and watched the show. This might be your most valuable 45 minutes that you've ever, and second of all, Glissando, it sounds like a high-end Italian restaurant here in the city that's hard to get a reservation. So that's fun, right? And I think we need to remind, you know, dudes and, you know, I'm not targeting dudes, but maybe I am, right? But like, think about moving your hips a little more like James Brown, you know, like while you're having sex. And you're right. Like a lot of dudes, especially white dudes, are like really stiff and they don't think to like, to get that, that little pivot rock, right? That little like thing. And that can make a huge, huge difference. Question I have, because we're talking about making women come and the time that it takes and all those things and ejaculate and what's what and squirting and what. So let's say you're having sex with a woman, everything is going
intercourse
great.
Intercourse or other sex?
Okay. Intercourse. I should have specified. Okay. I guess you could be doing anything, but whatever. And there's like the thick, white, creamy sort of fluid, but it's very milky and thick. That's like coming out of her vagina. What are we classifying that as? Is that pre-cum? Is that girl? What are we calling that?
It's just vaginal lubrication. It's really just a part of it. You know, it's interesting that the lubrications that come out of us, they can change consistency during a lovemaking session. It happens both with throat gasms and deep throating as well as intercourse when you're in the vagina. So like with deep throating is a really good example. When you first start, it's kind of like spit. Then that saliva becomes like pre-cum, really stringy. Mm. Like pre-cum. So, you know, kind of like, what's the word that I want for like boogers? Like snot. It comes like snotty and tacky and
like
stringy
viscous,
and viscous.
Like,
So it becomes more lubricating because it's thicker and it has more viscosity. Then as she gets more and more turned on and she keeps deep throating, it starts to get bubbly. It'll get white and bubbly. And then when she's coming really well from her throat gasms, she will actually ejaculate out of her throat. There'll be throat ejaculate. There'll be like, she'll want to stop and let it run out before she starts deep throating you again. It's the same thing that happens to a vagina. And it depends on her time of month and, you know, where she is in her moon cycle, even after menopause, we still cycle even if we don't bleed. And sometimes it's white and some women have more white type of, vaginal lubrication than other women do. So it's somewhat dietary and somewhat cyclical. And also it depends on her level of turn on and kind of where all that lubrication is headed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it's a great thing. First of all, second of all, is there a pleasure component to a throat orgasm or is it just the liquid
pleasure
that's changing?
Yeah, you're coming. Yeah, really.
From your throat.
Yeah, you come from your throat. You're coming. You're having contractive orgasmic experiences in your throat. Because, you know, like the Linda Lovelace thing, it's true. There's erectile tissue in your throat. It's right around that esophageal sphincter right there. And as you transmute the gag reflex into orgasm. Mm-hmm. So you learn that it's not really a gag reflex. It's actually an orgasmic contraction. You open your throat to it. You tantalize yourself. You go at your speed. You're in your turn on. You're taking your pleasure and you begin to have throat gasms. And this is the top of the tube. Your vagina and anus are your rectum are the bottom of the tube, essentially. It's your alimentary system. And they contract the same time. So as I was learning how to do pompoir and squeeze a penis in different locations, I was also practicing my throat gasms. And now for me, when I have an orgasm, my whole, I also have core orgasms. So around the erectus abdominis, if you squeeze all of that, it will give you bellygasms. And so once you kind of connect the dots in the mind-body connection all the way up and down, what's called the lumen in tantric and Taoist cultures, in the tantric sex culture, the lumen is the light channel. The Taoists call it the bamboo flute. But the notion is that there's an orgasmic channel that not just starts in your shushumna or your base chakra, but goes all the way up all your chakras and out the top of your head. And so things like the expanded orgasm practice, where you and your partner enter into this conjoint orgasmic trance state, you can go out off into spirit and touch source, touch all living things, feel a palpable connection to all living things, how we're all connected. And that's when you're getting into the realms of spiritual sexuality. So you start with the fundamentals, start with both ends, work on meeting it in the middle, and then work on shooting it out the top and connecting with source, Gaia.
God damn. Well, Susan Braddon just took everybody to church once again. I mean, this one is a doozy, and I don't say that lightly. So from church to the Orgy Dome, because I know you said you just returned a little while ago from Burning Man, which is where the, and everybody, like, just to let you know again, whenever I clip an Orgy Dome thing, people just lose their mind over it. So like, we're going back to the Orgy Dome. You have a story here at the end of the episode. This is perfect.
Good. Yeah, I wanted to tell you about my Orgy Dome experience because it was a kind of a reclamation for me. Not a reclamation, but like a stepping into something I'd seen that I always wanted to do that I had never done. So a maturation, a confidence, a level of confidence. One time at Burning Man, I went to a party called Adoration, and it was a party for female pleasure. And the men who were there to volunteer were there to serve the goddess. And she could have any number of things. She could ride the Sibian. She could do acro yoga. She could get a massage. She could get foot love. She could... You could fuck. She could get fucked. Whatever she wanted to have, she could have. And in the main tent, there was a DJ. There was a bar set up. There was like this little living room area with a rug down on the playa floor and a sofa and two club chairs and a little coffee table. And then on the entire right side of the room was just wall to wall mattresses for the sex party that was coming later. And I remember I walked into that room. It was very early in the party. It was right after I had ridden in the Critical Tits bike race. And my girlfriend made me do it because I was super embarrassed to ride in it because I had never been topless in public before. And she's like, bitch, take off your top and get on your bike. We're going. And I'm like, okay. And I had never really liked my boobs. And I wrote in Critical Tits and I saw 10,000 tits. And I'm like, oh, shit. I have great fucking tits. I didn't even know because I never like looked at a bunch of tits. I was like 44 years old and I finally realized I had great tits. So I have not wasted any time since then. But I've learned how to have boobgasms and nipplegasms and breastgasms and I am wasting no time. So I saw in this, when I walked into this tent, I saw this girl and she was in one of the club chairs and she had one leg over one arm and the other leg over the other arm and she was scooched down on the chair and she was just like this and she was just like, oh, oh. Oh, coming and coming and coming. And there's a dude kneeling down on his knees, eating her pussy. And I'm like, how the fuck can she do that in a room where people are just like walking in and out? Oh my God. I was just like so impressed with this woman. So I never forgot this. And I always had this fantasy of walking into the Orgy Dome and being that woman. So we go to Burning Man, and I'm with my husband and my boyfriend, and we bike over to the Orgy Dome, and we wait in line, and we get the briefing, and we go in, and we take our shoes off, and we put our shit in the fuck it buckets, and we walk in, and there's two rooms in the Orgy Dome. All buckets should be called fuck it buckets. The first room is kind of couples who are playing together. And it's full of couples playing together. But I want to go in the big girls' room, which is the open to more. Now, my safe sex practices, because I am very aware of the perniciousness of STIs, and I'm in a fluid bonded relationship with my partners where we've screened in by taking our STD tests. And so we don't have anything other than kissing and hands with other people, no mouth to genital or genital contact with others outside our fluid bonded group, which grows and shrinks over time as people come and go. You don't have to say yes. You can just, if people make you offers, you can be like, thank you so much for the offer. It's really nice to be made an offer. We can't actually do that, but thank you. That's all you have to do. Like, you can still go in the big tent. And I walked in and it's this giant tent with mattresses. There's like mattresses down this side, mattresses down this side, mattresses down the middle. And right at the end of the tent, there's three mattresses, giant mattresses stacked up high. And they're like the thrones of the tent. And on the far left one, there was a fivesome and they were roiling around like fish in a feeding frenzy. They were just like going at it. They were professionals. And the right side was available. And I go, okay, we're taking that spot. Like, I am friggin' empowered now. I'm no more, oh my God, my boobies. I'm like, I'm the bitch who's gonna get her pussy eaten on the big throne in the Orgy Dome at Burning Man. And so we go there and we take our stuff off and we put it in the fuck it bucket and I lay down my stuff on top of their stuff because I don't want to, you know, I also want to lie on my own shit. I don't want to lie on everybody else's shit. And the way the beds were stacked, I could get right to the edge of it and I could, Timmy got me pillows for under each side of my legs and Carl got down on his knees and he ate my pussy while Tim let me suck his cock. And I was like, this was worth the wait. I felt so confident. It was pleasurable. It was a fantasy that I had wanted to have for a very long time. I love my lovers. They enjoyed doing it. They knew how much I'd wanted to do it. And it was just one of those triumphant moments where I got to look around the room at all of the people having all this great sex and this giant orgy of beautiful, fun people who were totally fucking great and cool while I got my pussy eaten up on the bed throne at the front of the Orgy Dome. Boom!
Wow. I mean, you know, of all Orgy Dome stories, I think we're giving the blue ribbon to that one. Susan Bratton, I think we need to remind them not only where they can find you on the internet, hang out with you, right? But like, where can they work with you? Is there one master website, which we know there is, where all your stuff is? Let them know.
Yeah, betterlover.com is how you can get on my email newsletter. And if you have any questions for me, you can reply to any email I send you. And I personally get the replies and I always answer my email. It might take me a week if I'm traveling or whatever, but I will get back to you. Chances are the question you ask me, I already have written an article about it. I have 6,000 things I've written articles about or a video or three. But if it's something I don't know, I may need more information, but I will help you either get what you want or fix what is broken free. I don't see clients. I publish passionate lovemaking techniques. So I don't need to charge you and your questions make me good. So betterlover.com is where you get on that newsletter and then you can just learn more about everything there.
Well, see, now they've been asking me, where do they get a hold of you? I send her an email, right? Well, now they know how. So thank you so much for being on the show for the third time. You're going to be back in a couple weeks for something extra special, so they can look forward to that. And until next time, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Always. Big, big thank you to my guest, Susan Braddon, for being on the show with me for a third time. She is coming for that record. You guys are going to see her again very, very soon. Wink. Something special right around the corner. If you guys want to see more guests like Susan, you want to see Susan again, you want to show some love, some appreciation, some deep desire for more Sex Party, how do you do that? If you're listening on platforms like Apple and Spotify, you could subscribe to the show. That's the most important part. You could also leave a rating. You could leave a review. You don't have to, but I appreciate it if you do. If you're watching on YouTube, can you take me higher? I love you. I see you. That Creed was for you. If you're watching on YouTube, you could subscribe to the channel. You could like this video. You could like all the videos. You could leave a comment. As always, I'm available in the DMs on Instagram, and I will see you all right back here next week.
Thanks for listening. The party continues next week. Click subscribe and let's make this a regular thing. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @SexPartyFM. Follow Dustin @DustinRibka.